Welcome to Bellwether Friends, definitely not the first podcast featuring a discussion of pop culture and why we think you should like what we like.
You should trust us
because we're librarians.
I'm Anna.
I'm Aline.
Every couple of weeks we're going to get together and chat about a pop culture topic or two, what we think and how we feel. We'll end the show with our current obsessions. We actually have two topics today, for once. This is episode number 81, What to Watch Next TV Bracket and Oscars Preview! Crowd goes wild. Some time ago, I of course didn't look up the episode number before.
We'll link it in the show notes.
We did a bracketology bracket system.
It was last March for March Madness.
Right.
Or
to figure out what we should watch next, because we have, as of this recording, 92 shows that we're interested in watching. And there are but so many hours of the day, and many of them have been taken up by watching holiday romance movies.
Or the Olympics.
Or the Olympics. More time was taken up with holiday romance than the Olympics.
It just felt the reverse.
Since this episode is coming out, March 1st, March Madness, Bracketology, here we go. We did an overall bracket of all 92. We will reveal the results of that later. And we're going to try to post a link to that so that if you feel like filling it out yourself and correcting all the places that we went wrong, you can do so. So
that sounds like fun.
The way this works is that during the course of the year, as we listen to other podcasts or read things on the internet, we start...
Or listen to our guests' obsessions.
Right. We start collecting shows that we think we should watch, and some of the shows that we are deciding between were on our last bracket, full disclosure, but some of them are new, and some of them we put on there but we can't remember what they are, so bear with us while we remind each other.
That's the one with the thing.
We have loosely categorized them into manageable categories, and librarians know that categorization is faulty and subjective, so please don't add us your complaints about how...
We arbitrarily put something in the BBC category when it's not actually
on the
Canadian.
BBC. When it's Canadian. Right. Okay. So that's just the disclosure that we have five categories, 92 shows. They are not evenly weighted, but the five finalists, or maybe four, depending on how many a Twitter poll will handle. I think it's only four.
It'll let us do five. I think we did five last time.
We'll see. We will put them on our Twitter feed for you and whoever randomly sees the post on Twitter to vote to see what our show that we're watching next is going to be. Our last winner was Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Which we watched and enjoyed. Thank you very much.
Yep, so this process works. It works.
We have proof.
Aline still thinks it's weird, but it works.
My favorite thing is that the bracketology, bracketeering, bracket tool that Anna uses is called challenge.
That's challenge with an O for some reason.
Challenge.
French.
So it's possible I will shriek
challenge
more than once during the process of the bracketeering.
So without further ado,
let's go.
Hard to follow that.
I know. I'm just sitting here going, okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So our first bracket, we're going alphabetically because C above RE, librarians, is the BBC bracket, which just is everything that is foreign to us. Except for the ones that
aren't.
So.
Cataloging is an art, not a science.
Right. There are 17 items in the challenge bracket for the BBC. And since there are an odd number, there has to be a little runoff, a battle to get in the bracket. And that is between The Crown and Wallander.
The Crown and Wallander. So we watched the first three episodes of The Crown and we liked it.
Yep.
And we've heard good things.
Yep. Is it Wallander?
Wallander.
Kenneth?
It is Kenneth. So it's
How
kind of the same thing.
How Kenneth-y is he?
Oh, he's very Kennethy. Mm. He is Kenneth to the nth.
Kenneth.
Kenneth. So I am going to go with the crown.
Yeah, because I think, yep.
I've seen Wallander, and he is a sorrowful git, and I'm not in the mood.
Okay, so. Great. So that moves the crown over to round two. Now we're in round two. That's fast.
The first round was just that pair, and then round two has 8 pairings. So moving along.
The crown comes up against Lark Rise to Candleford, which, if you don't know, it is a period piece with costumes, and a lady goes from one place, Lark Rise, to Candleford.
So those of you who watch these sorts of things might be pleased to know that Safi from Absolutely Fabulous is the postmistress, and Patrick from Coupling is the baron, and Mr. Bates from Downton Abbey is the rugged farmer, and it's really enjoyable. I have seen episodes when I visited my mom, so I haven't seen the continuity, but it's one of those quiet little countryside.
You know, I feel pieces. I'm feeling that.
Are you feeling Lark Rise? Okay, Lark Rise moves forward. Sorry, Claire Foy.
Well, I'm okay with it. So our next pairing is the Night Manager versus Vera. I'm feeling Vera, obviously.
I'm all over Vera. I want to see the Night Manager. I really do. I love Hugh Laurie. I love Goldilocks. What's his face? And it's just still dudes. And so I'm for a cranky lady
right.
over that.
Great. That was fast.
Next up is MI5 versus Midsummer Murders. And Midsummer Murders is the village crime, and MI5 is the spy crime. And I think it's youngishly populated. For some reason, I feel like it's Quantico in the UK.
Well, MI5 then, for sure.
But that's probably a really bad mischaracterization.
Right.
Please don't at me.
That's fine.
MI5, moving forward.
So, Dr. Blake Mysteries versus Last Tango in Halifax. So, Last Tango is a couple who find love late in life, and they have family members, I believe some of them whom are gay. And I've had patrons recommend it to me.
I have no idea why Dr. Blake is on the list, except that we are into crime and villages.
Oh, I think a different patron recommended that to me.
Well, I like the late in life love of Last Tango. Okay. That's what's moving it forward for me.
Great. Next pairing, Bletchley Circle about codebreakers in World War II, and Victoria about young Victoria when she was just getting free from her mom. And
I want to see both of them.
I want to see both of them too, but that's not how this works.
Okay.
Also, you know, our usual disclaimer about how these are all shows we actually want to watch. We're just trying to figure out through the process of discussion what is feasible.
If we can prioritize something.
Yep. I'm gonna let you make this call.
But you love Victoria.
But I read the book.
Oh.
So I know what happens.
Well, we all know what happens. She's married for 90 years and has 100 kids.
Yes.
Wait, no. Right, her husband dies very young. She's only married for 20 years.
She still has a lot of kids.
Yeah. I would like the Bletchley Circle.
Yeah, okay. I'm for it.
We're for all of them, as you may have figured out.
Right. So, The Tudors and Scott and Bailey. The Tudors has some things to recommend it. And I think I was meant to replace The Tudors with the white princess or the white queen, the one that's based on the one that we talked about with Sophie and Margaret.
Right, that one.
Right. So, Scott and Bailey is
moving forward.
I was
what is
say,
Scott and Bailey?
Modern crime solving.
Modern crime solving ladies.
Lady partnership.
Yes. Okay, so next up is Luther and the Hour.
What did your mom say about Luther?
Oh, I don't remember.
I think it was disparaging. Maybe not.
Oh, she might not have liked the evil woman in the same way that you would like the evil woman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Idris Elba is one of our boyfriends.
Right.
And Gillian Anderson is our girlfriend.
Right.
So,
wait,
where did we...
Gillian Anderson in Luther?
No, The Hour.
She's not in The Hour.
What's The Hour?
It's the...
Oh, I'm thinking The Fall. What's The Hour?
That is not on this list, even though it could fit into this category. It's on a different list. The Hour is something that Margaret gave to us on DVD in physical format.
Wow, we have a physical format of The Hour?
Right? It is a period piece as well.
Luther's not a period piece.
I'm going to pull up a description because I can't pull it off the top of my head. I just know I'm supposed to watch it. Not if our internet doesn't cooperate. A six-part drama set in 1950s London when the BBC is about to launch an entirely new way of presenting the news. Dominic West, you're nodding.
Yeah, well, I'm interested in The Hour because I've seen two seasons of Luther.
Right, so let's go with The Hour.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Luther, but I'm
some
okay.
Some of this stuff...
I'm okay watching Our Boyfriend and Other Stuff.
Right, and just to clarify for our listeners who may not have listened to every episode that we have produced... There are things on our to-watch list that one of us has watched and the other hasn't that we continue to put forth because we wish to share them.
Right.
Or to drag the other along with us in a revisitation.
Right, well, we'll get to those.
Right. Next up is Alias, Grace, and Broadchurch. Now, we are having Margaret Atwood up against the Tenth Doctor. And I think we know where my loyalties lie.
We do.
But I don't know what the story is of Alias Grace. I'm just sort of lumping it in with The Handmaid's Tale and Misery, which is possibly not accurate.
I think we should move it forward.
Alias Grace?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, David.
I'm not.
I know you're not.
My middle name is Grace, so I'm... Moving forward, Alias Grace, you can't stop me.
Okay.
So, that takes us to round three.
The semifinals.
No, that's, well, yes. The ones that we choose will be in the semifinals.
Oh, right. See, I've been having trouble with what round it is because I'm so excited to write in the round. Anyway.
That leaves us with Lark Rise versus Vera. Crime solving versus period drama.
Quiet, villagey period drama.
What are we in the mood for?
I think that Brenda Blethyn is like a grumpy, seasoned detective.
MI5 versus Last Tango.
Last Tango.
Okay.
We need to check out MI5 and see if it is UK Quantico, like my brain. Because I think it is Young and Attractive Spies, but...
I hope so. Okay, Bletchley Circle versus Scott and Bailey.
When is Scott and Bailey set?
I think it's now-ish.
We're losing all the period pieces fast in the BBC, and that's really the strength of the BBC, so I'm confused. Because I'm feeling Scott and Bailey.
Yeah, look.
I'm feeling Scott and Bailey. What
me
about
too.
You? Okay.
And then The Hour versus Alias Grace.
Do
Let's
we know
put the
what
hour
the...
forward.
Okay.
Okay, now...
So now there's a period piece still in. Okay, so the semifinals. Vera versus Last Tango in Halifax. Aging grumpy crime solving versus aging love. All right, Vera. Scott and Bailey, nubile crime solving. In The Hour, a period piece on the news, which I've now manifested this into the network. And so there's some guy hanging out a window in London.
As long as you're not manifesting it with the newish Sorkin one.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I'm more thinking, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, except for a British person saying, I'm not really sure I like the way things are going. Scott and Bailey.
Okay.
Now it's going to be...
So now it's crime-fighting ladies against each other. So what is it going to be?
Vera.
Okay.
I think it's Vera.
Okay, so Vera is the winner of the first
challenge.
Bracket, got it. Okay. Wrestling paper. We're doing this all on paper for you.
Wrestle. The next category is
comedy.
Comedy. Ha ha. We enjoy a comedy.
Slash musical. Sorry.
Oh, right, comedy slash musical.
There are 18 items in this bracket.
In round one, we only have two pairings to get through. And the first is Master of None versus Grownish. So it's a matter of how mad we are at Aziz Ansari and how much of Blackish we've watched to enjoy Grownish. We agree that we need to watch more of Black-ish before we can watch Grown-ish, because we haven't even gotten to know that character yet.
Right. So, acknowledging that we're not happy with Azeen's Ansari, let's move Master of None forward, and then we will bump him out later.
Yep. And the next one is Happy Endings versus Trophy Wife, which are both heteronormative.
Happy Endings is something that they talk about on Extra Hot Grape, which is why it's on here. It might be something to just try. But I prefer Trophy Wife for something for you to watch, because the guy who's been married, who's married to all the three ladies, is Bradley Whitford.
I like him.
I know.
You know, if he could have voted for Obama a third time.
Would have.
All right, so moving Trophy Wife forward. And round two is giving us the rest of everything.
Yep.
So, first up is Galavant versus Master of None. And Galavant is the musical?
Musical set in medieval times.
I'm for it.
Okay. Sorry, Aziz. Not that sorry. Younger versus One Mississippi. Younger being the one where...
A 40-year-old Sutton Foster is mistaken for being younger and decides to run with it and try to reinvent her life. Even though she's got a teenage kid, she decides to pose as being 26.
And One Mississippi being Tig Notaro's...
Semi-autobiographical sitcom.
Yep.
If you know about Tig Notaro's life, it has not been easy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
We're all for lesbians on TV.
We are.
So I think we have to go with...
One Mississippi?
One Mississippi. This is interesting. Next up, we have Faking It and Parks and Recreation. I think Faking It is the one on MTV where, again, two girls pretend to have a relationship for whatever reason. But it has, while flawed, it has gay characters and an intersex character. And it's interesting. And Parks and Recreation.
Everybody loves Parks and Recreation. We don't doubt its importance in the canon, and we're going to move Faking It forward.
Direct all your complaints to Surly Spice on Twitter.com. Next up, we have Catastrophe and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
So Catastrophe is like Knocked Up. It is a couple have a one-night stand and
in the UK.
And he goes back to wherever he's from, and she finds out she's pregnant, and they end up having to, like, work it out. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I can't believe it wasn't up against Parks and Recreation. The randomizer of challenge.
It's very random. So I want to see Catastrophe. I think it might be too close to Carrie Fisher's death.
She is a bit part. That's why it's on the list.
So I want to see Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I have seen some of it. So I'm moving it forward.
Okay.
So next we have Lady Dynamite, which was
Maria Bamford.
Maria Bamford is recommended by Amy Digg.
Versus Trophy Wife. You've seen Trophy Wife.
Yep.
And want me to see it. Yep. And we have not seen Lady Dynamite. I read a big, long article about Maria Bamford coming to be where she is in her life. And I think that if we move Lady Dynamite forward, it's going to be between her and Tig Notaro being, like, difficult things. And I'm, like, getting anxious thinking about it.
Okay, Trophy Wife it is.
Sorry, Maria. I love you, and I want to know your story.
Not really.
I just can't right now.
We don't want to end up with anything as the winner that we are reluctant to watch, I would say.
Well, and we can acknowledge when we did the bracket, we did a bracket of all 90. Did you say that already?
Yep.
So when we did the bracket of all 90, I was very open about my mood today. I am having a tough day, and I don't want anything that's not a 20-minute sitcom. But that is, I'm trying not to have that.
It's going
to
be tough when
governing
crime category.
Everything, but it is going to come into it. And but that's a thing, is that we want all of the things at the end to be votes that we are super into, right, so that we will follow through and watch and report on the thing that y'all pick.
Because otherwise we'll just fail. So, Difficult People, which has
Billy Eichner
and a lady, Foyle, or Lady Billy being unpleasant, as far as I know. And Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which I keep meaning to watch and haven't.
Because of Margaret, right?
Yeah, probably because of Margaret, but because Kate Noble.
Oh, we should do Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
I agree. Next up, Jane the Virgin versus Sports Night. And I really want to watch Jane the Virgin, but Aline always talks about Sports Night, along with Linda Holmes.
Right. So I love Sports Night, and I have loved Sports Night since it was on TV, even though it is an Aaron Sorkin property. And thank goodness Linda Holmes loves it, too, because that probably carries a little bit more weight with Anna.
I don't know.
But Linda Holmes is a professional pop culture person, whereas I am an amateur pop culture person.
Well,
I'm an armchair.
This is episode 81. I mean, really.
Right. So we are right up there with Linda Holmes.
We are super expert. So anyway, Sports Night moves forward. I love you, Jane the Virgin, in theory.
And I
want... It's a tough matchup, as they say in the actual bracketology.
So we talked about Jane the Virgin briefly when we were doing our overall bracket, which, again, we will get to at the end of this conversation. And I was saying Jane the Virgin has the same problem for me that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend has, that the name of it turns me off,
yep,
even though I've heard wonderful things about it. Mm-hmm. And Crazy Ex-Girlfriend made it to the end, and it won the poll, and we watched it, and we liked it, and I can see what it's doing, but I'm like, don't stigmatize someone's sex status.
This is a great segue into Cougar Town.
Cougar Town versus Black-ish.
Well, I think we're still moving Black-ish forward, but Cougar Town does have another one of those unfortunate names.
Right.
It is a fun show, and it has, it's like the DNA of Scrubs into this Florida suburb or whatever, including some of the same, like the same showrunner and the same cranky lady.
Right. And I've watched some Cougar Town and really enjoyed it. And you're right. It's got a bad name for the enjoyment of it, which... work on that, TV land.
Okay. Yeah. Let's take it to round three. Gallivant versus One Mississippi.
Musical medievalism versus Tignataro's trauma.
Let's do One Mississippi.
All right. We are on for the gay ladies.
Faking It versus Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm going to have to say Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I need to go back to Tignataro and say that her wife is a formerly straight lady.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We saw them on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Trophy Wife and Lizzie Bennet Diaries. I want to bring forward Lizzie Bennet Diaries. This is part of our process, is that I sometimes make assertions and I wait for Aline to contradict me.
And sometimes we...
Nope.
The other way?
Yep.
Sorry, I wrote it down wrong. Sometimes we talk about something that we will, like, move forward, or we will, like, sort of sacrifice because one of us has seen and enjoyed. And, like, I love Luther, but I can wait to indoctrinate Anna.
This is going to be tough. Sports Night versus Black-ish.
In the last bracket, Black-ish made it to the end of our overall bracket.
Yep.
And it did not win the category.
Yep.
And so it wasn't the thing that we ended up watching, but we did watch a couple of episodes and really like it.
Yep.
And we want to keep watching it, and so much so that we have Grown-ish on our list as well. I
think we should move Sports Night forward so I can watch a few episodes and we can decide if it's for me or if I'm going to be overwhelmed by the circus-ness of it.
And it's pretty heteronormative. Okay, the semifinals.
One Mississippi and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm not feeling depressive.
So you're on with Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I mean...
Okay.
Maybe. I'm sure it's going to be funny because
Tina Turner is a
comic. But I also...
When she was sick, though, I read her memoir.
Right.
It's...
I have
devastating.
A no-go for cancer, mostly, so I don't think I can. Okay, Lizzie Bennet Diaries versus Sports Night.
So tell me what Lizzie Bennet Diaries is.
It's a retelling of Pride and Prejudice, and it's the form of like a video blog that Lizzie has, and her relatives and all the people move in and out of the frame.
Sports night.
Okay, that's Brooklyn Nine-Nine
versus Sports Night. Sports Night.
It's gonna have to be Sports Night so we can get it out of our system.
And you know how that always works out in the romance novels.
It works out well.
Oh my gosh, Sports Night, Sports Night! I need to tell Linda! She won't care. She'll be like, I can't believe you haven't watched it already.
You have.
I own it.
I know.
I own the whole thing. I love it. I've seen it multiple times. Oh my god, Sports Night. Felicity Huffman.
Is it Sports Night? That's weird.
Challenge. Felicity Huffman is the producer of the show. That's what makes it so awesome, is that she's the boss of the dudes.
Okay.
And her assistant producer is also a lady.
Are you ready for the next category?
Yes.
I realize I forgot a sound effect on the last one, but that's okay.
Crime.
Crime. Okay, so you might be wondering why some of the BBC entries weren't in crime, but that's just arbitrary.
Yep,
selection
that's just
for
how
you.
It works. That's how it works.
Early on, we have two matchups in the runoff, or whatever you want to call it.
In the challenge.
Counterpart, which is J.K. Simmons, and an alternate version, J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons as twin crime fighters.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but I hear good things about its atmosphere. And White Collar, which features
Matt Bomer. Oh my god, I just found out today from somebody at work that Matt Bomer and Zachary Quinto and some other guy who's also gay and another guy are reviving Boys in the Band on Broadway.
Okay.
I'm so excited. If you don't know the Boys in the Band, it was a play that was made into a movie about...
That was made into a musical.
The life of gay men in New York, and it's pre-AIDS.
Oh, cool.
And it's astonishing. I've seen the film. It's very dated, and it's just...
So, Matt Bomer has that, so I'm moving Counterpart forward.
Okay. Sorry, Matt. We love you.
We can watch Magic Mike XXL if we want to see more of him.
Ugh, Magic Mike.
And The Fall, Season 2, versus Mindhunter.
Mindhunter is new.
Yep.
And it's got somebody in it. I just looked it up.
Jonathan Groff.
Oh, Groff Sauce is in it.
And it's about, like, the... beginning of profiling serial killers.
You'll be back.
Right. And then The Fall, which has Gillian Anderson.
Soon
and
you'll see.
Christian Grey.
Jamie Dornan. Well, we gotta stick The Fall forward. I am so sorry, Groff Sauce. We really love you, and I will watch you by myself if I'm allowed.
No.
Sorry. Nice never try. Mind.
Okay, so moving on to round two, we've got Psych versus Counterpart.
Psych
is one of those things I've always wanted to watch, but never have.
And Psych is one of those things that I watched when I was laid up with a broken knee every minute of all 8 seasons. And I continue to have this on the list because I am for Anna enjoying it.
The Killing versus Leverage. Obviously, we're moving Leverage forward. This is not...
Obviously. So
this sets up a deadly Psych Leverage showdown.
But Leverage is another thing that I watched when I was laid up, and I watched every minute of it, and I loved it, and I want... Anna has seen a lot of it, too, but...
No, I've seen, like, 2 episodes.
Oh, really? See, for some reason, I thought you had, like,
Carolyn
some of it,
made me watch some like for 2 an earlier episode of this show that we're doing.
Right, no. Oh, my God. Okay, next up is How to Get Away with Murder versus The Fall, Season 2. And we continue to be big fans of Viola Davis. Yep. And we have read think pieces about her role in How to Get Away with Murder.
Let's
and
do it.
Jillian, we will come
I
back
don't
to
think
you.
It's going
to
get farther than Psych or Leverage, but you never know. And then a Law and Order... I think either the next season, we did season 1 of original Law and Order, so this would be like season 2.
Okay, all the laws and all the orders.
Right, or the first season of SVU, or whatever, versus The Alienist, which we have watched 2 episodes of.
and which is current.
I am curious about.
And I read the book The Alienist back when it was big and was into it, and it looks like it's going forward.
It is going forward.
We're never going to lose the Laws and Orders. I mean, we watch them.
Well,
I watch them.
We own the set of the original, so unless something terrible happens. Okay, so that leaves us with Psych versus
Semifinals.
Leverage.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so Psych is, I mean, it's Dulé Hill.
Yeah.
And he's very much a foil to this guy. Have you seen much Psych?
I haven't seen any. Not one
drop. So the best thing about Psych is that they're both just the goofiest of goofs. And he has these extraordinary observational skills. They're Sherlock Holmesian.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I love.
And that's the thing that you love. But he's just a goofball about it. And
I like that also.
But Leverage is an ensemble piece that's got like five of them.
I just like the main guy.
And you don't like Timothy Hutton?
No.
Then we should move Psych forward because if you don't like Timothy Hutton, then you won't be as gratified by the sort of whisper of romance for him. There's whispers of romance with another pair of the characters too, but if you don't like have a sort of like Timothy Hutton thing going
on. No, I more have a Timothy Hutton.
Okay, so definitely Psych is going forward.
Okay, so that leaves us with How to Get Away with Murder and The Alienist. I think Psych is going to be whoever we put through, so let's put Violet through.
Okay.
Okay, so drum rolling. We're going to have to drum roll. We're just going to crown Psych the winner. And
I appreciate that we are going
choices.
With, like, no, but there's,
the old
like,
stuff.
Old stuff. I am happy to put forward old stuff. I mean, we're going to watch new stuff, and The Alienist is in our DVR. It's not like it's not going to get watched.
Along with another one that's going to come up.
Challenge!
Alright.
Ooh, that was a daily double pew pew pew.
I have all the sound effects. Drama! So this is...
Drama!
This is my attempt to recategorize some things. So they got put into drama. You can argue with me later.
Please direct your complaints to HelgaGrace at twitter.com.
Let's pretend that's an email. Yeah, send it to that email. So first up, Make It or Break It and Royal Pains. Now, Make It or Break It, I believe, is about gymnasts. And Royal Pains is about a doctor in the Hamptons having to deal with
that. I love Royal Pains. He gets like an intern there is a lady doctor who is Indian who is one of his assistant, and then he has like a bad brother, and his dad is Fonzie, his like con artist dad. I have seen some Royal Pains because I used to, I don't know, watch the USA. Also Bruce Campbell. No, that he doesn't show up in that one. He shows up in a different one, a crimey one. Anyway, sorry, it was the same channel, whatever. I say Royal Pains.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Next up, The Wire and The Good Place. I think you've seen most of The Wire.
Well, I've seen a chunk of The Wire, and you've seen all of The
I've
Wire.
I've seen all The Wire, and The Good Place is coming up. So we'll move The Good Place forward and think about taking The Wire off our list.
I really like that one guy, though.
Nashville versus The Bold Type. This is a tough one. But I think The Bold Type.
I want to see The Bold Type. And I love Connie Britton.
Yep.
And I am...
But we have Friday Night Lights elsewhere on this list.
Okay. Sorry, Connie. I'll see you in Texas.
See you in round two. So all right. That takes us to Dear White People versus Royal Pains. In round two.
Dear White People.
Yeah, I agree. This is an interesting matchup.
Oh no, how are we going to decide?
So The L Word season two would be versus GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
I think it's going to have to be GLOW.
But what about the Marc Maron aspect? Let's try it. We'll put GLOW forward.
And I haven't heard horrible things about the Marc Maron aspect.
Yeah. Let's put GLOW forward.
Okay.
Next up, Homeland versus The West Wing.
Oh my gosh. Randomizer, you wound me.
The West Wing.
I love The West Wing so much.
I haven't seen much of it since it was on.
I never saw it when it was on, and I saw most of it when I was laid up.
It was a long 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, you know, 24 hours times 6 weeks. That's a lot of time.
Friday Night Lights versus Atlanta.
I really like Kyle Chandler.
And Connie Britton.
And Donald Glover.
I don't think he was in Friday Night Lights.
No, he's in Atlanta.
I know. And he wears a nice velvet jacket. And he picks up his awards from Atlanta. He
picks up his awards. I'm just stopping by to pick up awards. Are we going with Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of Velvet. Velvet Donald.
I was going to say, thinking about it, makes me still think of Velvet Star Cross,
which is the Shondaland Romeo and Juliet continuation.
Interracial.
Yes. And The Good Place. I think we have to put The Good Place.
We want to see The Good Place.
Unlike everything else on this list.
Right.
And then Masters of Sex versus Feud, which
was Joan Crawford, Betty Davis.
Yeah. I think I'm more interested in Feud.
Really? Okay.
Okay.
The Americans versus the Bold Type. Now, Felicity as a spy has continued to be problematic for me, in spite of winning awards.
Well, we just need to watch a little so we can either say this isn't going to work or... But I think we should give the Bold Type a chance.
Okay.
And then Being Mary Jane versus ER.
But it's just the gay season of ER.
Oh?
You're not making me watch 20 seasons of ER.
Just start at the beginning, though.
Oh, no.
In season 9. I mean, I'm not saying we have to go all the way through. But you have to start with season 1.
I thought
one,
I was only going to have to watch the gay season.
Which has, like...
So
you won't have any George Clooney if you start with the gay season.
Exactly. So Being Mary Jane is Gabrielle Union being TV presenter, talk show host. And
we don't know much about it. But all we know is that we like Gabrielle Union
very much.
However, we might have trouble getting our hands on that one. I think we should put it forward anyway.
Okay. Sorry, ER.
No, you're not.
You may remember from a past episode, or you may not remember from a past episode, but I have never seen an episode of ER.
I know.
And Anna has written fic. So we are at slightly different places on the ER spectrum.
Sometimes I'm just going to sit you down and make you watch some. Okay, so round 3, Dear White People versus Glow.
It's tough. It's tough. I'm going to make you call it. Or I'm going to ask you nicely to call it.
I'm going to say Glow.
All right.
And then in the West Wing versus Atlanta, I'm going to say Atlanta for sure.
Okay. The Good Place versus Feud, I'm going to say The Good Place.
Yeah.
The Bold Type versus Being Mary Jane.
I'm going to say The Bold Type.
Okay. Look at us going new all up in here.
Right?
Look at all these new things.
Okay, so Glow versus Atlanta.
It's ladies.
Yeah. Sorry, Donald.
Ladies take precedence for us on so many levels.
And then this is The Good Place.
Yeah, because we're still into Veronica Mars in hell.
Shh.
Isn't that what it is?
I think that might be a spoiler.
Oh! Sorry. So it's Glow versus The Good Place. I think it's going to be The Good Place.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay. Look at us making progress.
Progress!
Only 20 minutes. We won't talk about the Oscars.
It won't take us long to talk about the Oscars. We'll just talk about the big categories. We won't talk about, like, documentary short subjects.
All right, well, this is the longest category.
Challenge! But it's the last one, alphabetically, science fiction and fantasy. So this is one that it front-loaded round 1, and it adds in just a few things in round 2.
Yep. First up, we have Birds of Prey versus She-Ra. She-Ra going to be produced at some point in the future by Netflix.
Totally aspirational. Birds of Prey is old with Canary and It has Mia, Sarah, Huntress, and
Dina Meyer. I've watched some of it. Don't worry. Anyway, Birds of Prey is going forward.
So we are so going to be there in the front row for She-Ra when it happens.
We are.
It just is on the spreadsheet a little early.
Just a little. So the Librarians versus American Gods. That's an interesting matchup. We don't know anything about the plot of American Gods or the plot of the Librarians, for that matter. But there's a show about librarians. So
right. The Librarians it is.
Even though American Gods has Gillian Anderson in it. The Legend of Korra versus Battlestar Galactica.
Legend of Korra. Yeah. Gay animated ladies. If you don't like our synopses,
we will link things in the show notes.
So that you can read the real one.
Penny Dreadful versus Orphan Black.
Huh. Oh, no.
That's your call.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're the one that always wants to see Penny Dreadful, so I'm leaving it up to you.
But I thought you had seen some of Orphan Black.
I did.
And liked it.
Yeah. But it was only a few episodes. Let's go for Penny Dreadful. It's a complete unknown. Buffy versus Lost Girl. We're going to go with Lost Girl.
Sorry, Buffs.
Runaways versus Jessica Jones. You are going to want Jessica Jones.
What is Runaways?
It's the kids who discover that all of their parents are supervillains, and then they run away. Hence the title.
Yeah, Jessica Jones.
It's Brian K. Vaughan. That's the guy who wrote it. Saga.
Oh, right.
Okay. The Handmaid's Tale and Twin Peaks.
Still not ready for The Handmaid's Tale. Leaving it on the list because I want to see it and I don't want to watch it.
Okay, Twin Peaks. I want to see it, but I don't want to watch it is maybe our quote for this episode. So this is terrible.
Oh my god, in the first round. We can't do it because both of these guys should be at the very end matched up against each other. Gnash his teeth.
You want to just try to arrange that somehow?
We can't mess with the randomizer.
Okay.
So right up here in round one, we are pitting Black Lightning against Luke Cage. We have seen a couple of episodes of Black Lightning and loved it. So sorry, Luke.
Sorry, Luke
we'll
Cage.
Be back.
A Star Trek. Maybe Voyager. Maybe, who knows, maybe Next Generation. Versus the Dresden Files. So Dresden Files it is. He's going to get defeated by Black Lightning.
But I know. Sorry, Harry.
Okay, Xena versus Crazy Head. Now, this is a tough one.
So Crazy Head is the UK Buffy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mixed race.
So
probably already more diverse than Buffy.
But Xena.
I know. I'm going to put Xena forward, but I want to watch Crazy Head someday. Aspirational, as we said.
These are all on here.
I know. Cloak and Dagger, teen superpowers, also mixed race, romance, I believe, versus American Horror Story.
Which we still don't know which one we're supposed to watch.
Yeah, but you know where my feelings
Cloak and Dagger
lie. Black Mirror versus Warehouse 13. We're going to go with Warehouse 13.
Yeah, we are.
Someday we may watch the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror and call it good. Someone with lesbians in it.
Harold. Oh, right. Don't call me Harold. Okay, moving on
to round two.
Stranger Things versus Birds of Prey.
I want to go with Birds of Prey here.
Really? Okay.
I know. Everyone is agog about Stranger Things.
Well,
that's
you know
why
what?
I don't want to
we are. We don't have to do that. And, you know, for some of it, we are contrary. But for other bits of it, we're like, everybody knows about it, so we don't have to.
Right. So the Librarians versus Legend of Korra. I'm going to put Legend of Korra because the next matchup for them is going to be amazing. Merlin bringing in a new thing. Merlin versus Penny Dreadful. I think we want Merlin. Yes, that could be in the BBC category as well.
Lost Girl versus Jessica Jones.
Oh my goodness.
Lost Girl is going to come out
really?
On top here.
Interesting.
Jessica Jones is not a lesbian.
I think Lost Girl isn't either.
She will just take on all comers.
Okay. So, another new entry, The Expanse, which is based on a book series by James S.A. Corey, which is two guys writing together. And I want to watch it, so we're going to put The Expanse on over Twin Peaks.
It's a damn fine cup of joe.
I'm going to assume that's a Twin Peaks quote. Is that a Kyle Chandler Twin Peaks?
Black Lightning versus the Dresden Files.
We could have taken care of so many things.
Kyle MacLachlan and Kyle Chandler are not the same person.
No, they're both in Kyle.
Oh my god. I'm going to put Black Lightning.
Yeah. Agent Carter versus Zenith. Why does this pairing always come up?
And it comes up early. I don't understand why it comes up so early.
You know what? This time I'm putting Zenith forward. I think she's going to get defeated later, but I'm putting Zenith forward.
Cloak and Dagger versus Warehouse 13.
Warehouse 13.
Okay.
That is a show that Ellen keeps referring to, so I want to see it.
Yeah. And then she's going to be like, Aline.
Right. Okay.
How does Linda Holmes feel about Warehouse 13?
I don't know. So that's probably not a good sign.
Probably not.
Okay. So round three, Birds of Prey versus Legend of Korra.
You have to pick because you have already beaten out the things that I liked.
Birds of Prey it is.
Okay.
It's only 13 episodes long in its entirety due to its cancellation.
Which ought to tell us something.
I've read a lot of fanfic based on that universe.
Merlin versus Lost Girl.
Obviously, Lost Girl goes forward here. The Expanse versus Black Lightning. Obviously, Black Lightning goes forward here.
Xena versus Warehouse 13.
Warehouse 13 goes through.
I'm so sorry, Xena.
No, you're not. Birds of Prey versus Lost Girl. Lost Girl goes through.
Really?
Black Lightning beats out Warehouse 13, though.
And Black Lightning beats out Lost Girl.
That's right. So, that was, sorry, Lost Girl.
So, what we have for your poll
are, our finalists are, ready? We're waiting.
Vera, Sports Night, Psych, The Good Place, and Black Lightning.
I feel like that's a good mix of things.
Your poll will be forthcoming. Now, just to review the overall bracket that we bracketed
very consistent
earlier. Oh my god!
So we did an overall bracket, which was randomized, of the 92 shows. And the show that came out on top was Warehouse 13. The runner-up was Black Lightning.
Right. But, Jessica Jones and Sports Night made it to the semifinals.
Yep. And Psych made it to the quarterfinals. Leverage.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Sports Night.
So, anyway, so I feel like The Good Place only didn't get farther because it came up against Black Lightning.
Right. So, we are looking forward to what you choose for us to watch next.
And then we'll report back in a future episode.
Meanwhile,
at the Oscars.
We've been watching Oscar movies because we got MoviePass thanks to Two Bossy Dames.
Yep.
And that made it available to us to see a bunch of movies that we probably would not otherwise have seen. I'm looking at you, Shape of Water.
Oh, so we're just going to talk briefly about some of the main categories in terms of what we liked and... This will probably take the place of a discussion in one of our movie advisories of these movies so that we don't have to waste space on them.
Precious time talking about Phantom Thread.
Best picture nominees that we have seen. Call Me By Your Name, a.k.a. gay Italian 80s.
Yes.
I liked it. I was surprised.
Yeah. I loved it because I love gay movies.
Really?
With dudes in them,
I thought everyone did a great job with that movie.
They did.
You should see it if you haven't already. It had a great sense of place.
And time.
Darkest Hour, we haven't seen yet. Winston Churchill, meh. Dunkirk, Kenneth Branagh's.
Kenneth Branagh. Hey, it's got Harry Styles in it, but we read about the Battle of Dunkirk in Connie Willis, and that's all we need about Dunkirk. There was a lot of drowning. There was a lot of peril.
We just haven't watched it yet. Right. We may watch it on Fast Forward or something. I don't know.
We saw Get Out and we loved it.
Yes. And we're going to watch it again just because we can.
We saw Lady Bird and we liked it.
It was okay. I don't like uncomfortable.
I liked it better than Anna did.
Right.
We saw Phantom Thread.
I liked it better than Aline did.
Anna liked it better than I did.
There, so I don't want to spoil anything, but the protagonist played by...
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Thank you. I wanted to say Ralph Fiennes, but it's because they both have skull heads.
Yes.
Was an insufferable man, and the way in which his lady keeps him in line is both disgusting and my favorite thing ever.
Okay, so we saw the Post.
We saw the Post. We liked the Post.
We're really glad that the Post repatriated Kay Graham when all the president's men removed her.
Yeah, and it was great watching people rush documents to each other in foot.
Manila folders on foot between D.C. and New York. Go get on a train. Okay.
It seemed to me that there was still a lot of guys talking in the Post. And as far, there was Meryl Streep and there was like one lady reporter and his wife was played by, in the Michelle Williams role, was played by, what's her name?
Sarah Polly.
Right, Sarah Paulson.
Paulson. Sarah Polly, Sarah Paulson. Sorry, Sarah Polly.
So I feel like it could have been more there, but we had to Tom Hanks it up. Streep Hanks. The Shape of Water. Ableist nonsense.
So I don't know if you ever watched In Living Color back in the day, but David Alan Grier and Keenan Ivory Wayans did these two gay guys, and they would be like, hated it, in unison. Yeah. And
I do remember that.
There are so many problems with their characterization, and yet that is how Anna and I would talk about The Shape of Water.
It was not for us. Gay stereotype, a...
But basically, if you are not completely normal, you are unworthy of love, or you will only be loved by a monster. So, Richard Jenkins, beautifully portrayed, sad, aging, gay artist, is never going to be loved. And Sally Hawkins, mute person, is a freak who is only going to be loved by a fish who proves his non-humanity in spite of his anthropomorphic representation.
R.I.P. cats.
Oh my god. He eats the head off a cat. And the bad guy, who is the bad guy from Boardwalk Empire, we spend way too much time with the evil bad guy.
Yep. Could have edited his part down quite a bit and still gotten it across.
Yeah. It wasn't hard to tell that he was a bad guy.
Not for us, The Shape of Water. And we are not anti-woman fish slash. And the last one, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Sorry, Allie. We have not watched, but we have watched it win a lot of awards.
We sure have. And we like Frances McDormand.
We do. I would like Get Out to win, obviously. And as my runner-up, I would like Call Me By Your Name to win. Those are my top two.
Yeah, I'm for Get Out here. We are not going to waste our time speculating on what we think is going to win for whatever reasons. So. We just want Get Out to win. So, I thought that we would look at the acting.
Yeah, let's look at the main acting and the animated one.
Okay, yeah.
Let's look at the animated one first, because it's also a best picture. It's just a best animated picture. So, we've got The Boss Baby. That's a no. We've got The Breadwinner, which we haven't seen. I think I put a hold on it. Coco, Ferdinand, and Loving Vincent. It's about Vincent Van Gogh.
Yeah.
That's probably the most movie-ish movie. Coco is the clear...
It's the clear winner for us.
Great movie.
It was great.
It was great.
We liked it a lot. If you haven't seen it, we suggest you give it a go.
Yeah, definitely.
And Ferdinand, too. Ferdinand's got a little more toxic masculinity going on than Coco.
But it is demonstrably the wrong way to go, the toxic masculinity.
It is.
So thank you, Tim Federle.
Yay, Tim Federle. Departing from the order that the Oscars are presented, we already did Best Picture first instead of doing it last, and so we will do Best Actor. The nominees are Timothée Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis for Phantom Thread, Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out, Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour, and Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel, Esquire.
Which we saw a bunch of previews for.
We saw lots of previews for it, and Denzel is great, and he can do whatever he wants. And we are here for Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah, we sure are. Timothée Chalamet did a great job also.
And Timothée Chalamet was beautiful.
He was
wonderful.
At full Jess Mariano in Lady Bird and partial Jess Mariano in Call Me By Your Name.
This is not a compliment. This is a testament to his acting. So, for Best Actress, there's Sally Hawkins in The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep Hanks for The Post, where our choices are limited enough that we are on the Lady Bird train here.
Yeah, I think so. Sally Hawkins did a great job considering she
wasn't allowed to talk.
And I imagine Meryl Streep will probably win.
But she's Meryl Streep.
Right, so
and
Lady
Bird
it is. And
we don't begrudge her that, but we are Lady Birding. Supporting actor, Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project, Woody Harrelson for Three Billboards, Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water, Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World, where he replaced Kevin Spacey at the last minute.
Let's go for that.
And Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards. So yeah, we're going to go with Christopher Plummer because he's Captain Von Trapp.
Pretty much, that's how objective we are here at BFHQ.
Yep.
And actress in a supporting role, Mary J. Blige for Mudbound, which we still haven't seen. We will rectify that before Oscar night, I think.
Yep.
Allison Janney for I, Tonya. Leslie Manville for Phantom Thread. Is that that sister?
Yeah.
Ooh, I liked her.
I know, she was great.
Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. Is that
the mom?
Her mom. And Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water. Poor Octavia Spencer having to do the buddy slash help role. The Shape of Water, man. Part of me wants to give it to Allison Janney because
we just love Allison Janney.
But I really liked the Phantom Thread lady. She was great.
Yeah, we're going to go with Leslie Manville for Phantom Thread. And we will enter our friend Toby's pool for Oscar night with all of the categories. And we have our ballots and we've watched a bunch of movies. But that's what we're going to cover here on Bellwether Friends.
That's right. I have just one plug I want to make.
Oh, wait. But if you want to talk about Best Director or Best Song, I'm open to that.
I was going
to
say Best Director, I would like Jordan Peele.
Yes.
To get it, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
For Get Out. And Best Song, we do have to talk about it. I don't remember Mystery of Love from Call Me By Your Name. Oh, wait. It's by, what's his name? Sufjan Stevens, right? Didn't he do the music for Call
Something
Me By
like
Your Name?
Something like that.
But obviously, I think we have to go with Greatest Showman, This Is Me, which was covered by Kesha.
Right. We want Kesha to win
an Oscar. The original
Oscar.
Singer, the one of the quotation mark freaks in the freak show that, what's his name, started out with?
P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum.
Hugh Jackman. That's his name.
She was great, and her rendition was great in that.
It was a great song with a great sentiment, and we saw Greatest Showman.
We did.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see if there's anything else on this list that we can just briefly cover so we don't have to, spend time on it in our next movie recap. So, Greatest Showman, P.T. Barnum is a terrible guy. And
Hugh Jackman is a charming fellow.
Right.
And so we feel deeply
and
conflicted.
And Michelle Williams, doing the Michelle Williams role.
As usual.
Put upon wife with few lines. Anything else? Let's see. The Big Sick we saw.
We did watch The Big Sick. It is up for original screenplay. It's the only Oscar it was nominated for.
I think we were generally pro.
It wasn't as bad as we thought would be. We're anti-hospital.
Right. We're anti-life-threatening illness in general as a plot point.
Yeah, it's not... It's...
And I know this is based on a true story, so there wasn't much they could do about that.
But that's one of those content warnings that we're like, all right, that's right out.
Right. So we managed to watch it, and it was a good movie. It's just the whole life-threatening illness tends to take the romance out of the
takes comedy. Takes the romance out of the romance for us. Takes the comedy out of the romantic comedy.
Right. So I think that's the last one of substance that we have to mini review. But we will be watching and possibly tweeting the Oscars this coming Sunday.
Golly, it's that soon.
I know. We gotta get watching. We gotta go.
We do.
Do you have any obsessions, Aline?
I always have obsessions.
Well, you and I have a mutual obsession. That I know.
Which is?
Black Panther.
Right. We are totally obsessed with Black Panther. Oh my god, if you have not seen Black Panther, go and see Black Panther. I've seen it twice already. We're seeing it again tomorrow night. We are super into it. The first time we saw it, I was just sitting there slack-jawed, taking it all in. And the second time we saw it, we took little G and I cried like 3 times and I picked up things I had missed when I was too busy being slack-jawed. And it's just awesome.
Yeah, go see Black Panther. My sub-obsession is Phantom of the Opera because we went to see it on Saturday.
Took little G to see the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway.
We had both seen a long time ago, let's say in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's still catchy. The plot is still intolerable if you want a lady to be making her own choices.
Yeah, because all she's wanting is to be guided by everyone.
Right. But I just keep thinking about it. So obsession is the correct word here. The music keeps popping in my head. I just keep thinking about how Christine should pick neither of those guys.
Right?
And I had to look up the synopsis of Love Never Dies, which is the sequel. And it is even worse/the same. So it seems like it's a good sequel.
A friend of the podcast, Renata, has seen Love Never Dies.
Yeah, I asked her if you reported on it. Know more about it. And do you have a musical obsession?
Well, I'm sad to say.
Is it Phantom of the Opera?
Well, it's Think of Me from Phantom.
Great.
Because that is all that my head has been singing for, let's see, today is Monday, so it's only been about 72 hours.
Right? But it's still there.
But it's still there, and it's constant. And one of the challenges that Phantom produces for me is that it's catchy enough or ubiquitous enough that it has become part of the fabric of America. I've only seen it performed once before this last Saturday, and I never had the CD or the album, and I never listened to it over and over as I did with the musicals I grew up with. And unlike Anna. And yet, every note that was sung on stage was familiar to me. And the part is written for operatic
soprano,
lyrical
much
soprano,
like
not a, you know, it's not musical theater. It's for a trained operatic voice. And I could talk about that for days, but it's not something that I can like sing in the shower. It's not available to me. I can have this thread in my head, but
Big
I am not going to start
thread.
Singing.
Ha, ha, ha. Thread.
But I can't like bust out singing Think of Me because I just know.
I can, but you probably don't want me to.
I think you have done. Bean will break out with it, though.
It's Prima Donna that's stuck in my head. But that one, it's like a 10-minute chunk of stuff, so we can't link to it.
Okay.
It just wouldn't work.
So do you have something else that you could link to for
well,
our musical obsessions?
I do. Hold on.
Yeah. Okay. Except you have to sing it.
So instead of titanium, this is David Guetta featuring Sia. Instead of titanium, you replace it with vibranium, which is the element that Black Panther revolves around, and then you're all set.
We have a history of singing different words to songs that are either well-known or not well-known. We just sing them, and we're here for this. We are Vibranium.
We made it to the end of our show. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Bellwether Friends. BellwetherFrnds. We're on Facebook. We're on Tumblr. If you want, you can look us up on iTunes and leave us a review, like Annie did.
Thank you, Annie.
I'm Anna, and you can find me online at Helga Grace, HelgaGrace.
I'm Aline, and you can find me on Twitter at Surly Spice, SurlySpice.
Our In and Out music was provided by Julie Jurgens. You can find her on Twitter at Hi Miss Julie, HimissJulie.
Bye! Bye.